Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles, your favorite true crime podcast. I am Donnie, and with me is a man who cannot believe how old people are that are his age. It's Dale.
Dude, that sucks.
Man, you see people out everywhere and
go, I can't believe I'm the same age as these old people.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
People with gray hair and wrinkles. And I'm like, I went to school with these people.
See, I got no hair.
You don't even know what color your hair is, do you?
Bald.
Bald color.
Floor. Bald.
I guess that. I guess bald is a color.
Back to the old thing, you know, where people say, "Well, my hair turned gray, mine just turned loose."
It did. Just turned loose.
How about that?
What's going on, dude?
Same old, same old.
Same old, same old.
Yeah, speaking of them, dude, we went and saw REO Speedwagon not long ago. Took the wife down to Spartanburg. Amazing show, but that crowd.
Were they into it or not?
Well, I thought it'd be made to went over to Shady rest home.
Really?
They still rocking there.
They're still rocking, but they wasn't into it.
Well, they was trying. I mean, just saying, there was the elders showed up to the show.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, man.
I hate that. Yeah. I mean, these older groups are recording and, well, not recording, but touring and doing these shows, man. It's just great that they're doing this stuff, you know?
And it was good. Sound good, too.
Really?
Yeah, I was impressed.
Hmm.
I'd never seen them before.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see.
Yeah.
I always liked REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, good show.
Very good.
My wife digs them.
Oh, good. You got any good shout-outs or anybody you want to talk about before we get going on this episode?
Oh, we might have something.
Yeah, bring that clap on.
Look at there. We don't have an Apple Podcast review, but we have the next best thing. How about that?
I'll take it.
We have a wish for one. We have a comment on an episode from Spotify, actually.
Bring it on.
It was from our Branson Perry episode, and it says, "Dang, guys, that one was heavy. I just want to say I love your cast." I guess that's us.
That's us, yeah. Yeah.
"I've been listening for a long while. If I had Apple, I'd give you a five-star."
Five-star.
And he typed it out like that, so that's just super cool. Anyway, it says, "Hooray for the new mics and keep it cracking."
Man.
We love it, right?
Yeah.
Keep cracking. That's a good... I'm going to put that on a shirt.
We need to put that on a shirt with same old, same old.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Cracking.
Just cracking. Just same old, same old.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks so much for taking the time to drop us a little note like that. That's really cool. We appreciate it. And that is from Corwin, C-O-R-W-I-N, Corwin Lambeth, L-A-M-B-E-T-H.
Well, thank you, Corwin Lambeth.
And that dropped in on our Spotify.
So man, how cool is that?
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And be like Corwin and go to Spotify and write something about an episode. You can also click 5 stars on Spotify if you want to.
Yeah,
you can go to Apple Podcasts and click that 5-star or make a comment there.
Or whatever you want to do. Put a sign in your yard that says, you know, whatever.
Tell all your friends. Tell everybody about us.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Other than that, dude, we're going to get going this episode because we got a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this one is close to home.
Yeah, too close.
Very close. Because we got to talk about this, and where this takes place is like 23 miles from our house.
Yeah.
From right here.
From right here.
Yeah, 23 miles away.
Yeah.
So this is very close. I mean, I drive further to work than this.
Yeah, as do I.
Yeah. But we're talking about a story that took place back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts out with a lady by the name of Edna Suttles.
Yes.
Yeah. She was from Travelers Rest, South Carolina.
That was a cool name.
Travelers Rest. Oh, yeah. It's a very cool name. And it was actually just a little small town there in South Carolina, which is how it got its name. But people would stop and rest on their way to the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah. It's a city in Greenville County, South Carolina, with a population of around 7,700 people. Now, that was in 2020. But the name comes from in 1794, Donnie, way back.
That's old timey there.
Yeah, the South Carolina General Assembly appropriated $2,000 to construct a wagon road from Greenville, South Carolina, into the Blue Ridge Mountains through Asheville. And that would end in East Tennessee. and this road fully completed in the 1950s. No, excuse me. This was fully completed in the 1850s.
Oh, 100 years before.
Right, yeah. But anyway, there was just, like you said, it was just a resting place for people making this long trek through there.
But Edna was born Edna Nations, and she was born in Georgia. She was born on January 11th, 1941, and she moved to Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and she lived there for many years. But Edna was 80 years old at the time of this story taking place, Dale.
Hmm.
And there in Travelers Rest, she was very outgoing. She was 80 years old, like we said. And
that's impressive.
Yes. She was going places. She would go to honky-tonks and hang out at bars and just, and also being very well-known, she would sit with elderly people.
Yep.
Even though she was 80, she would sit with older people to, I guess, take care of them while their caretaker would go out and do things.
Right. And from what I understand, she did that from, like, when she was, like, 15 old.
Just taking care of people.
Something that she'd always done. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoyed taking care of people she knew, family and friends.
Even though now probably some of them she was taking care of was probably younger than her.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But one neat thing about Edna, she was the first ever female bail bond agent in the state of South Carolina. How impressive is that?
It's very.
Yeah. So this lady, very outgoing, but she had to deal with a lot of shady people trying to get out of jail. And I'm sure she heard every story in the book.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure she is very street smart, much as she'd been around.
Yeah, I would say so. But Edna was just an outgoing lady, and everybody loved her, from all reports.
Yep. She's very fiery.
But our story that we're talking about starts on August the 27th of 2021, which was just not long ago at all.
Nope. Sure mm-mm. wasn't.
But Edna, on this August the 27th of 2021, she is spotted leaving her home at around 9:30 a.m. She's got a Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's champagne colored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she goes into Traveler's Rest. She lives about 7-8 miles away. And she's seen pulling into the parking lot of a Food Line.
Yep.
And there she's sitting there waiting.
She pulled up near the front in one of the handicap spots.
She did. I guess being 80 years old, you can do that stuff.
Privilege, man.
Yeah.
You earned it.
And she sits there for a few minutes, and this is when there's a man coming out of the Food Line.
Mm-hmm.
He is spotted on surveillance camera, walking toward her, and he seems to wave at her, and like they know each other.
He throws up his hand, like to me, it looks like one of those two-finger wait a minutes, and then he walks over to his car, and he gets something out of his car. Was it the trunk or backseat or something? Another bag.
Yeah, he got a bag out of his car.
Some type of black bag of carrying, anyway, and then comes back to get in the car with her.
Yeah, he had a Chevrolet Cruze.
Yes.
Yeah, it was silver in color, I think.
Yeah, and it was just parked like two spots down on the other side of the aisle.
Yeah, but he gets his bag out of his car, then he goes to her Jeep Grand Cherokee and gets in her vehicle, and they leave together.
Right.
And Edna's vehicle is seen driving away toward her home from the Food Line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, toward that direction. Now, sometime later, at around 2:02 that afternoon, Edna's Jeep Grand Cherokee pulls back into the Food Line parking lot, according to a surveillance camera, and is parked on the far part of the lot.
Yeah, and we know all this stuff because there are surveillance cameras everywhere.
Yeah, and that's what we're going by.
Yeah, and actually there was one by her house at an antique store that was kind of pointing down the road at her house. So you see her car pull out to go, and it took about 17 minutes to go from her
exactly.
house back to the Food Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this Jeep Grand Cherokee of hers is parked on the far part of the lot there at the Food Line.
Yeah.
And there is a man that gets out of the driver's seat on her vehicle and walks back to his vehicle, the Chevy Cruze.
Where it was still parked where it was that morning.
Yes.
Yes. Now, they're pretty far apart at this point.
Yeah, and he moves the Chevrolet Cruze closer to the Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Mm-hmm. He pulls up so the passenger doors are side by side on each car.
Yeah.
So one point one way, one point the other.
Exactly. And this is when the man moves Edna from the Jeep Grand Cherokee to the Chevrolet Cruze.
I would say move something.
Yeah, move something. We've looked at this video. There's surveillance on this. And it's very grainy.
Yeah, at this point he pulls up, and then you can tell he's doing something in the car, and then he looks like he maybe goes over to the other car. And then at this point, when he puts whatever he's putting into his car. He takes her, he gets back in her car. It's
yeah.
just crazy. And then moves it. But he moves it over to the Best Western Hotel, which is the adjoining property.
It is.
And pulls down to the back side of the hotel, backs it in.
To keep the license plate away from the
traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Backs
back toward the woods.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
And then gets out and then starts wiping on the car.
Yeah, wiping it down.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. So it's like he's
wiping the dash,
like
steering wheel.
Detailing, looking to wipe, you know. Yeah. Like around the steering wheel, around this, around there. And then you go, wait a minute. He's wiping
doors.
The car down and he walks off. Then he comes back and wipes a few more spots and then he walks off again.
Yeah. And he walks back to his vehicle and drives away with Edna in his vehicle. And Edna appears to be motionless. That's what the authorities are saying.
Yeah.
She's sort of out of it.
I have a hard time seeing all that.
Yeah. Now, let's explain a little bit of this right here. Edna goes missing because the next day, Dale, August the 28th of 2021, she was supposed to sit with an elderly lady. She was supposed to show up and sit with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Edna didn't show up.
Right.
Because they said that Edna was very prompt when she would do these things. She was always on time.
She was like clockwork.
Yes.
Is what they said.
And the people that she was supposed to sit for, they went to her house and they knocked on the door. Nobody came to the door. Edna's right. vehicle wasn't there.
Right.
And they got concerned.
Something's up.
Yeah.
They hadn't heard anything and this just ain't her.
So they call 911.
Correct.
Greenville County 911, what's the location of your emergency?
The thing is, a sitter was supposed to show up to be with my mom today, and she's in her 80s, and she didn't show up. We've come to her house, and we can't get nobody to the door or anything. Her name is Edna Suttle. This is not like her. She shows up like clockwork. So something's wrong.
And at this time, during this time in Greenville County, South Carolina, they didn't really look for missing people right away, adult missing people.
No, they usually just took a phone call and then that was it.
Yeah.
Check on you in 24 hours.
Yeah. But
this particular case, and being Edna's age and stuff, they actually sent out a welfare check.
Yeah, they did. But usually they'd at least wait 24 hours.
Correct.
Yeah. But they decided to change their policy at that time at the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they even sent out a silver alert.
They did.
They sure did.
So then, so the police went over there and they can't get anybody to come to the door either.
No.
So her having two adult children in the area, they find her son.
They did.
And he comes over and gives them entry into the house.
They did. And her son, when he walks in, he didn't see anything out of place. It wasn't nothing messed up. The only thing he saw was her bed was messed up.
Yeah.
Which she usually makes her bed every morning.
Mm-hmm. And he said that the house was particularly clean. He said, you know, it's not ever just filthy or nothing, but it's not usually that level of cleanliness unless she's expecting someone to come over.
Exactly. And her dog was there.
Right.
And her son also said that if she was going anywhere for any length of time, she would contact him to come and take care of the dog or feed the dog and let the dog out or whatever it needed to be done.
Right, because they're just trying to figure out where she would be or why she's not home.
Yeah, so Edna's missing.
Yes.
Yeah, so they were on the lookout for Edna.
Right.
So,
well, what they do is they put out all points for this vehicle.
They do. They're trying to find it.
Yeah, and a week later, it takes them a week, which is kind of odd to me, to find their car.
Yeah.
And when they find her car, it's in that hotel parking lot.
Yeah, but actually, there was a cop there. He was off duty, and he was listening to his radio.
Yeah.
And he got the report on this car description and everything, and he actually spotted his off-duty police officer. And
right.
he was the one that turned it in, and they came out and found the car.
Yes.
And they called her son to bring a key or anything. He couldn't find the keys for it.
Mm.
So they broke into the car. And they were going over this car with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah.
Trying to find anything they could find.
Yeah, meanwhile, they were inside the hotel seeing if Edna was checked into this place, and she had never been checked in.
Passing around photos, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't have any.
So she wasn't staying there. They just figured out that the car was just in the lot.
That's right. So they go to the hotel surveillance camera, and they pull footage from that.
Yeah.
And then that's when they see a man back in this Jeep Grand Cherokee into the parking space.
Right. Well, they're sitting there looking, and the car comes in, and they go, well, there's the car right there. And then they're expecting Edna to get out of the car, and it's not her.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just his man. And they're like, what the hell's going on? Like we did. And then he gets out, and he wipes her down, like we say, and then he goes back, and he wipes it again, and then he walks off, and they go, wait, where's he going? So then he walks, so then they go over, so they immediately head over to Food Line and have them pull their security footage.
Yeah, they did. And they pulled the footage from there, and that's when they spotted a man coming into the store. Very good footage. I mean, this is high-quality camera footage they got.
Yep.
This guy coming in, and he's in the store, and then they got another piece of footage of him checking out.
Yeah.
And he's at the counter checking out, and he's got a four-pack of strawberry yogurt.
Right.
And he pays for it, and it shows him leaving the store.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then when he walks out, that's when he walks and gets into the car with Edna, as we said at the first.
Yeah.
So we're kind of caught up.
Yeah. It sort of put piecing all this together. That's how who this guy was and what he had done.
So they still can't figure out what's going on with her. But then as they're looking at the footage again, somebody is really smart. And they noticed that he used his MVP card.
Yeah.
So they go straight to Food Line, pull this footage, see what time it was, pull the thing, MVP card.
And bam,
they get a name and an address.
Oh, yeah. They got all the information on from that yogurt.
Right there.
Yeah. And the guy's name is Daniel Prince.
Yeah. P-R-I-N-T-Z.
Yep. And he is from Bostic, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
This is this place that's 23 miles
just
from...
Just right up the road.
Yeah, from the crack house right here.
So they know, they don't know what's going on, but they do know he was driving her car, so at least they can go there with the warrant, as in like... larceny or something for like stealing the car. So they have a reason to go talk to him. So.
Exactly.
So they call up to Rutherford County and see if those guys will go serve that warrant for him.
Yeah.
And the sheriff said they would be more than happy to ride over and serve that warrant.
And they do.
And they do.
They go up there and serve that warrant.
Yeah. With out there, I mean, full gear. Because I'm sure they looked up this guy's record and know he's got a record. So when they get there, they're not taking no chances. They got the AK-47s. They got everything or whatever they're carrying. And in the video, they also video that where he rolls up. He's just out in the yard, and they pull him out, and he goes straight to his knees and says, I will be very cooperative.
Yeah.
Sir, I will be very cooperative.
So they handcuff him.
And serious business, yeah.
And they take him in.
Yes, they do.
They do. And when they get to looking around his house, they have his search warrant. They find all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
They find a lot of guns. AR-15s, other handguns.
There's 22 guns they find.
Yeah.
And then a couple of those, the bigger ones like the AR-15s had the actual serial number scratched off.
They did, which is a felony.
Yeah. A fatal offense.
And which is another felony was that Daniel Prince had been in prison before.
Yes.
He moved down here to Bostic, North Carolina from Michigan.
Yes.
And they found out that he had been in prison in Michigan for kidnapping.
Yes.
Yeah, he'd received a sentence of 15 to 30 years for this kidnapping.
13 to 30.
Yeah, but he ended up serving 13 years for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were some other things he had done that had been tacked on to that. But
actually, I think he served 12, and then they put him on parole, and then they dropped that after a year, and that's when he moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he moved down here to North Carolina.
He moved to Gastonia originally.
He did.
Gaston County, anyway.
Yeah, he was actually living in Belmont
right.
for a little while. And that's when he got married, and he moved to Bostic.
Yes.
And he married a lady that was from Michigan. Her name was Karen Kilpatrick.
Yes.
And I never really understood how they met or how they got hooked up unless they just moved down here together.
I think they moved down here together because during the interrogation, he's talking about she had a job in Michigan where, you know, and then half of the interrogation, I don't know if it's true or not. But anyway, he said that she had a job and she was almost ready to get to her pension or have enough time in for that. And they had put her part-time, so she had to leave there because she wasn't going to get it and actually moved down here for a job.
That's right.
Is what he said. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming they all came together and then maybe they decided to get married here. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was married, yeah.
But that's when they were living out in the country, out there in Bostic.
Yep. Now, he said that she had a job in Charlotte. When she could have got that job, and they're living in Belmont, of course, because that's a lot closer. But then I guess she wanted to get way out in the country, which is in Bostic, because it's way out there. And that's a pretty good ride to Charlotte and back every day, like an hour and a half or so easy.
Mm-hmm. But Daniel, his address there in Bostic was 125 Kaiser Road, Bostic, North Carolina.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's not far away at all from right here. But he had several acres there. It had been reported about 200 acres that he was living on. But Daniel, when he was moved down here, he was doing a lot of handiwork.
Yeah.
Handyman type stuff, working, fixing houses, whatever people needed. But he worked for the elderly.
Yeah.
He would
usually, yeah.
Yeah, or widowed ladies who needed help.
Well, I think when he started, he said he had put ads in Craigslist when he first moved here.
Yeah.
And then it went kind of mouth to mouth from there.
Yeah, he would put occasional ads in the paper, I guess, when he needed work or whatever he needed.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing. He was just making money doing home repairs. But Daniel had also been in the military at one time.
Mm-hmm.
He had worked in Texas for the military. He was working on helicopters, and he'd been in Germany for a while, too.
Yeah, he said he was in Special Forces, too, but I don't know about all
that. That's what he said. Yeah, so they take Daniel Prince in, and they got him in the interrogation room, and they're talking to him.
Well, while they're talking to him is while they were doing, like, searching and stuff.
Yeah, they had that search warrant.
And then when they found those guns, they're like, okay, whatever's going on here, we definitely can hold him now.
Yeah.
Now, he don't know all this. While he's sitting there talking.
He has no clue while he's just sitting there talking junk to these officers.
And he is talking.
Oh, he's talking. He's very arrogant.
Talking.
And he reminds me of Todd Kohlhepp a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like the way he likes to talk and boast himself.
Yep.
Yeah, very arrogant kind of guy.
Yeah, it fits.
Yeah. And they just talking about everything. Talking about his life, what he does, what his wife does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just talking about life, man.
They're just sitting here and just shooting the bull. Me and my buddies.
That's pretty much. And, you know, I told you before we started this, if they took me in handcuffed, I would be screaming, why am I here?
Yeah.
Tell me why I'm here. But we don't want to talk about what I do for a living or
what I did in the military and why my wife's here.
Why am I handcuffed in here?
That's crazy.
He was just being buddies with them, hanging out, showing him his legs and his wounds and stuff. And if you get a chance, go check out this YouTube video interrogation of Daniel Prince.
My wife was going crazy. She goes, I just don't know how they can sit there and listen to all this.
Yeah.
I said, they're making him be their buddy, honey.
I know.
It's all a sucker trick.
It is. It really is. So they get a little bit more aggressive with Daniel during this interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
They start showing him some surveillance photos that they have.
Well, they're asking him about where he's been, what he's been doing, where he's going, why they're talking about all this work and how far his name is spread, and it's just odd you've been here, been there. And he's like, well, I've been down to Charlotte this last couple of weeks. He said, what about this certain date? Well, I don't know, I'm not sure. He's playing it off dumb. And then he mentions Traveler's Rest, and they go, wait, what were you doing there?
What were you doing in South Carolina?
Yeah. That's when he said that this woman he had known for years, he'd been doing work for.
And he considered her a friend.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Now, we think there's a little more than that.
I think there was, too.
Yeah.
Because Daniel, at the time, he was 59 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Edna was 80.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was some kind of relationship going on.
Yeah, I do, too.
They had some kind of relationship. Not what it was, not sure what it was, but, yeah, there was something going on.
There's something going on.
Yeah.
Because even when he was talking to the interrogation, it's like, I'd come down here a lot of times to do work and just wouldn't do work for her. She didn't have the money this time or she is this. I'm like, he's coming down here awful lot for something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to buy yogurt at Food Line.
Yeah. And he said he considered her a friend and visited her multiple times. And he also said he hired a private investigator to help her with her daughter's divorce.
Well, she said she wanted to talk to him about getting one because she was afraid of the one she had or something.
Exactly.
Some kind of weird story. Because during this whole interrogation, whatever they say, he just latched on to it, and there he goes on another story.
And he has an excuse for everything they talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. He's quick.
Yeah, and they're showing the picture of him wiping down the vehicle.
Yeah.
And he says he's nervous about being connected with the situation involving this private investigator.
Yeah, because he's like, nervous about what? Because like, they're like, oh, we got you now. And he goes, well, I don't want to be caught up in this stuff with this private eye.
That's what he said.
If anything happens to her and then my prints are on the car, then it looks like it was me.
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking.
But he was unable to provide a name of this investigator.
Yeah, he didn't know his name.
No, he didn't know.
And the reason he had her car over there is she wanted him to ride over there and see if they were in the lobby and then leave the car and then it could go in her car. Or some kind of mess.
Yeah, he had an excuse for everything.
In circles around, yeah.
So on September the 23rd of 2021, investigators, they searched Daniel's home again, and they found a pretty unique firearm,
mm-hmm.
and it belonged to Edna.
Right.
And this gun had been missing from her home shortly after her disappearance. And Dale, they also found some electronic devices at his house.
Yes.
Which were hidden in a structure or building separate from the main house.
Yes.
Now, at this time, you know, Daniel was married to this Karen Kilpatrick, and I guess authorities had told her exactly what was going on. And they determined that she didn't know anything about this.
Right.
What he had done. And she was packing up.
Yeah, she wasn't hanging around to see what happened.
No.
I've heard enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
There wasn't none of this, oh, well, I'll stand by my man thing. I don't know if she had an inkling of what was going on, but when they filled her in, it was either so much shock or something that she was like, okay, I'm cashing out.
What she said.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, she was like moving and putting the house up for sale. She ain't playing.
No, she even had friends come over and help her pack stuff up.
Yeah.
They were getting out.
Right.
And one of the people she had over, they were walking through the property.
Mm-hmm.
They were walking around this large property, seeing what they could find, anything they could take with them or whatever they needed. And this is when they found a box. It was a bee box.
Yeah, it was like way out on the edge of the property near the woods.
Yeah. It's like a beehive box. I mean, people seen the way they put their raised bees in.
Yes.
And they got to looking at this box, and they called investigators to come and check it out.
Yeah, because they thought something was in it.
Yeah. So they came out, and they get into this box. But just another thing, too, Daniel's wife, Karen, she was highly allergic to bees.
Yes.
Yeah, she wouldn't get around them.
No.
So I guess that's why this bee box was about 75 yards away from the house.
Yes.
But the investigators come out, and they get into this bee box, and they found Edna Suttle's keys, her purse, as well as some zip ties, some medication, rubber gloves, an empty yogurt cup. And they got to examining this yogurt cup. They found traces of lorazepam, tramadol, and cyclobenzaprine.
All three drugs.
Yeah, they found traces of those. So, on October the 13th, after investigators confronted him with this knowledge of this new evidence they found on his property, he decided he wanted to come clean on some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Talking about this yogurt cup that they found, this was one of the yogurts that he had bought at the food line that day.
Mm-hmm.
When he met Edna on August the 27th of 2021.
That's right.
And they found the other three yogurt containers at her house in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Strawberry. Side note, KK said that Daniel hated strawberry yogurt.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, dude, the law enforcement investigation in this was top-notch.
Yeah.
These guys did a heck of a job on this case.
Right. Plus, it was a co-effort, you know, for the FBI and the local.
Yeah, they even said the ATF got involved with this.
Mm-hmm. And then they all worked together. Nobody come in there trying to throw their weight around and act like they was better than anybody else. They just dove in and did it together.
Yeah, they got this going. And this is when Daniel, at this time on October 13th, said he's wanting to come clean.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to confess his sins.
Yeah. Well, they knew that he, I mean, he knew they had everything. When he was like saying, well, I don't know if I was there or not. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. And then the guy pulls out this stack of photos. And it was photos taken from those video clips. And he's like, okay, what about this one? You know, and he goes, I don't know if that's me or not. What about this one? And be one just right after that photo where it's just clear as day. Oh, what day is this? This is the 27th, like we just asked you, and this is in food line. Do you remember now? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, I mean, they had him dead to rights and all this stuff, and he knew it.
Yeah.
He knew it, especially after they found the guns and stuff, and then they found all of Edna's stuff in that beehive.
Yeah, that's right.
And they found that trash bag. They had them shoes in it and all that stuff. And
they found a door panel.
It was a cargo floor panel.
Yeah, from his...
Renegade.
Yeah.
It was his other car. It had been in the shop. And then they actually looked at the shop records, and that was one that he wanted them to replace from earlier, from another time or something.
Yeah.
So for some reason, he took the... Back where the cargo goes in the back, the floor pan of a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
He had it tore out and put in a new one.
Yeah. So this is when Daniel tells law enforcement that he can take them within 3 feet of Edna's body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on the next year, this is 2022, May 16th of 2022, Daniel Prince, he led the investigators to Suttle's body.
Well, first they went one time and they couldn't find it. They went out there and searched everything, but it's like basically it was he had given his attorney a hand-drawn map.
And it was very crude.
He gave it to them, and they went and looked. He said, but basically when they got out there, everything looked the same to them. And so they didn't know if now if he was full of it or not. But then the next time, like you said, they took him back.
Shackles and handcuffs and everything.
Yeah, and he walked his head right there, about 3 foot down.
Yeah.
And there she was.
Yeah, it was on a nearby property in Rutherford County.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't on his property, but
right.
I would say pretty close to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, wasn't far off.
No.
Right. And when they dug her up, she was still very recognizable, even though it had been a few weeks.
Yeah.
So,
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And amongst all this stuff they found at Daniel's property, they found some pill bottles and other IDs that belonged to a woman by the name of Nancy Rego, R-E-G-O.
Correct.
And she was a 66-year-old woman from Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, Rego was a widow, and she'd been missing since 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And she just made, like, sporadic email and text to some contacts with her family since you went missing.
Well, it's kind of odd. When she met, they kind of hit it off, and I think they were actually dating.
Yeah, even though he was married.
Even though he's married. And she had a very an elderly mother. She was like 88, I believe.
Yes, she was.
And so they got together.
Her name was Dolores Sellers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had talked Nancy into basically euthanizing her mama.
Yeah.
And that was his word, euthanizing.
He talked her into it.
Yeah, because he's a very manipulative guy, you can tell. Way he just takes control over her. So what happened is they got together. He kind of talked her into taking her mom out. And it was only like, I mean, not long after they got together. And then they moved together. It moved in together, I believe. This Rego and him. And then later, she kind of just remorse was just killing her. She just couldn't believe what they had done. And she was going to go talk to the cops. So he ended up shooting her in the chest.
He did.
Yeah.
He killed her. Yeah. But he had also, during this time, had it fixed up with her for him to be power of attorney
yes.
over her.
Yeah, before he killed her, of course.
Exactly.
Right after her mom had passed away, he's like, I got that all figured out where he could just take care of stuff.
Yeah. And he was actually getting her Social Security payments at his house.
Yeah, mailed to his house. It didn't change the address and everything.
Yeah.
And that's where the debit card was hers. Now, even though her family, like you said, was getting random texts and emails and stuff because she's missing, so nothing was ever said because nothing was ever said that she was, a report saying that she was missing because they were getting random texts and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. So they didn't know, even though whoever that was texting them refused to meet them anywhere or do a voice phone call. It was always a note or a text or a message.
Yeah, and the way he was doing that was from these electronic devices. And they were out in his building.
Right.
And he told his wife that there were bees out there in that building. And that would be a good reason for her not to go out there.
Right. So when they say they found electronic devices, it was this lady's phones and stuff, maybe her laptop or whatever. But it was her stuff. And like you said, that's how he hid it from his wife. In the old building, he told her it was full of bees. Mm-hmm. The same way he was hiding all the stuff in the bee box out by the woods that I don't believe had a bee in it at all.
Yeah.
Now, it did have a cool little saying on the side.
Yeah.
It said, don't worry. Bees happy.
That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah, and a couple of bees painted on it. Even though it was full of evidence of a murder.
Yeah.
Bees happy.
That's crazy. But this Nancy Rego, her mother, Dolores Sellers, you know, she passed away in 2017. And at the time, it was caused by natural causes, they said.
Well, they weren't sure, but they knew at her age, you know, they just wasn't going to do an autopsy because, you know, maybe she just, it was time, you know.
Yeah. But these pill bottles they found on Daniel Prince's property, they were also had the cyclobenzaprine, tramadol, and lorazepam.
Yeah, Nancy Rego's stuff.
Yeah,
all had her name on the bottle.
The same drugs that were drugged by Edna.
And like when you said Edna. Before, when they found drugs in the beehive with the other stuff, it was actually not pills. It was crushed up medicine.
Yeah.
In a bag.
Yeah.
Easily to be put in a thing of yogurt, if you think about it.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Because the same thing they found in the yogurt was the same thing they found in his house.
Yeah, but this lorazepam, it's a strong sedative that can be used to slow breathing and even cause death when combined with alcohol and some other substances.
Right.
Yeah. So he knew this.
Yeah, and tramadol is like a narcotic pain reliever,
mm-hmm.
even though it's synthetic, I think. So it's not an opiate, but still pain reliever.
Yeah. But Daniel Prince did confess to these other crimes, these other deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a lady that he confessed to.
Right.
This her name was Lee Goodman. And she'd been described as a transient, but she really wasn't a transient. She was more just a free spirit who just moved around a lot.
Right. She had a rough life.
Yeah, she was an occupational therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she'd been down on her luck at one time, and Daniel had met her and invited her to come stay on his property for
right.
a while.
Yep.
Sure did, but she went missing. And he had also said that their bodies would never be found.
Right.
Yeah, pretty sure that he'd cut them up and put them in barrels and
with some kind of chemical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just disintegrate them
or something or whatever.
Yeah. Pretty much what he said. He said they would never be found.
Yeah. Rigo and Goodman with me.
Yeah. But after Daniel confessed all this, he wanted a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he told him once he realized he was done. You know, he's like, okay. Well, and he kind of looks up at the camera, his little quote you always see, it says, if you turn that off, I'll tell you a lot more.
He looked right at the camera.
Yeah. So then I think they did cut it off because there's no footage that I can find of it. It just says, and then he talked to him about another hour and he told him a lot of stuff more that they wanted to hear. But then he did say he wanted the lawyer to come in, and he said, I'll tell my lawyer everything and then we'll come back and do all this. And that's what he did. He got his lawyer because he said he knew he was in trouble. He knew he was going. He said, I know I'm a realist. I know what's going on and I know what has to happen, but I would like to have a little bit of control in
what
happens.
That's what he said. That shows that his mentality right there, how he is.
He needs control.
Yeah.
So then he talked to his lawyer. Then they come back and that's when they give him the whole thing, but he wanted a deal.
Yeah.
And he didn't want a long, drawn out trial. He wanted to do all federal time. And, I think he was just trying to avoid a death penalty, so he didn't even get a trial. He just basically went straight to prison.
Yeah, he went before a judge.
Yeah,
and that was it.
Yeah, down in Spartanburg. Yeah, he went in front of that judge, and I'm pretty sure it was in Spartanburg County.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure, but several of us went down years ago to one of the courthouses, and I'm thinking it may be this one, and actually recovered all the benches in the place,
the seats in them.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's pretty weird.
It is, ain't it?
Yeah. So then they shipped him off to prison.
They did. They sent him off to the United States Penitentiary, Hazleton. It's located in Bruce Mills, West Virginia.
Yeah, and he will never get out.
No. But I think he was actually transferred from there, and he's in Kentucky now at a federal prison.
I should say he'll never be free.
No, he's never getting out.
No.
But his wife, Karen, she packed up and she went back to Michigan.
Yep.
She did.
That was crazy to me. It's like, here's what he did. Really? Okay. Well, I'm out.
Yeah.
For sale. I'm gone. I am not playing this game.
Yeah. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I think maybe at one time, you know, when he was messing around with these women, you know, like you said, he had moved in with this Nancy Rigo. Maybe they were separated or something
maybe.
At one time.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe there's stuff going on in the house. And then she knew this was her time to get the hell out while they had him locked up, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, you could say that she didn't know. Maybe she knew more than she should know, and he knew that. But, you know, she could know that she could be the next body if he got out.
Yeah.
But, so maybe, I don't, well, I mean, that's all speculation. But I just thought it was, hit me funny that she got the hell out of Dodge.
You know, we've talked about this case before quite a bit, and I've wanted to do it, and it's so close right here. It's scary, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just right next county over. And there was not, I remember when this happened, but it wasn't a lot in the news about it.
Right.
A few news articles here and there. You might have seen something on TV quick, but that was it.
That was it.
They brushed this under the rug fast. I don't know if it...
Maybe because it was federal.
It could have been.
Come in and done that, you know, they kind of took over. And
maybe it's still going on. Maybe they're still looking for stuff he'd done. Because I'm sure these four ladies aren't the only victims of his.
They can't be.
Mm-mm.
He can't be.
No.
He's done, if not this same thing, he's done something before. I mean, like you said, even when he got caught for a kidnapping in Michigan, he had done something already, and then he had tried to abduct, I think, a 25-year-old girl and got her in the car or whatever, and she was fighting back. And I don't know if she was shackled. Was she shackled?
Yes, she was.
In the car. And she tried to grab a flashlight to hit him with, and he got it from her and told her to stop or I'll kill you. Well, it didn't bother her nuts. She grabbed up an Allen wrench and just started stabbing and stabbing and stabbing until she got away. And when she got away, she told him, and that's why he went to prison for kidnapping.
Yeah.
So I'm sure either before that, you know, or he had already done something. And then he was there 13 years and then come here.
Yeah.
So before then, we don't know.
I know. Yeah, they could be others.
So maybe that 25-year-old girl made him rethink his victim profile.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the elderly that are weak that I can control.
I can mind control them and physically control them.
Yeah.
And they got to have money.
Exactly.
And I'm going to work in there, and I'm going to be nice, and I'm going to be your handyman, and I'm going to do a couple jobs for you, and I'll keep coming back, and then I'm going to figure out how to get that money.
Mm-hmm. So it's like Edna. I mean, she owned that bail bonding company.
Mm-hmm.
80 years old. She was set, man.
Yeah. And I don't know about this other lady, but I'm sure he was doing something. He didn't get power of attorney for no reason.
I know.
And I mean, it wasn't just to get her checks, I'm thinking.
Yeah, he was getting Social Security off of her.
So I'm thinking his handyman skills that he was telling his wife was more of manipulation skills he was using everybody else when he left. When he was going to work, he wasn't going to go build a porch.
No.
He was building relationships and stealing from these people.
I believe so, too.
Yeah.
But it's a bad dude. I mean, he was labeled a monster.
Yeah.
He really was.
Yeah. You can tell why he's just, right after he done it, he's just nonchalant, walked across the parking lot, and when they're talking to him about it, I mean, he's just like, he don't know why he's there, blah, blah, blah. Hmm. I mean, and don't care. He's just there to talk. Kick back in a chair, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, and he's a serial killer.
Yes, very much so.
Yes.
So, and basically, they looking for a missing car and a missing lady and uncover a serial killer.
Yeah. And the law enforcement on this, man, they were top notch.
Yeah, the only thing that was weird to me about the whole thing is it took them 7 days to find that car that was only 7 miles from our house.
Yeah, I kind of get that in a way because, you know, the way it was back then, at a hotel.
I mean, I've never been to Traveler's Rest, so I don't know how big or busy it is, but and I don't know how big the police force is, but you would think.
Yeah, they put out a bulletin on this car.
You'd think within a week they'd find it, and even the officers not even in that jurisdiction found it.
Yeah.
But once they found it, it was on.
Yeah. They weren't messing around.
Super quick.
Yeah.
I guess the moral of the story is don't try to save 20 cents on a cup of yogurt if you're going to go kill somebody.
Because his MVP card at Food Line, his rewards card is what got him.
Yeah. Now, they may have eventually got him, but that rewards card gave him a name and a address. I mean, bam, straight to your front door.
Yeah.
For whatever much money you saved on him, yogurt card.
20 cent, probably. 20, 30 cent.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Man. But anyway, that is the story of Daniel Prince.
Daniel Prince.
Yeah, he's a bad.
Daniel Glenn Prince with Glenn with one N.
Glenn with one N. Yeah. That's what he told
him. Make
sure
you get that.
Yeah. Crazy. All right, we're going to get out of here, bud.
All right, let's roll.
We want everyone to be safe. Please be careful out there and always be aware of your surroundings.
Because the next episode could be about you.
This is the Crack House Chronicles.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.